Are you proud of yourself? How about our country? Our guest this hour says Americans have lost pride in self and country, and it shows. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, July 22nd. We will talk about America's I don't care trend with trends forecaster Gerald Celente, who says we can see this trend in how we dress, how much we weigh, and how we feel about politics. What are the signs, significance, and solutions of the I don't care trend? We'll find out, and we'll welcome your observations, questions, and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Gerald Celente, publisher of the Trends Journal. He is the author of the article, Blame I Don't Care: How a Lack of Pride in Self and Country Affect Health and Spirit. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being with us. So what prompted this article?
Well, it's called, actually, the full article is Don't Blame Obamacare, Blame I Don't Care, in the sense that we do have the most expensive, or one of the most expensive, healthcare systems in the world. But you could have the best and the greatest and the most expensive, and it's not going to make any difference, not when you look at the health of the people. One of our researchers, Dr. Mitchell Skolnick, is forecasting that the greatest cost to America in health care in the coming years is going to be the obesity plague. What we do is we break it out from not only that, but looking far beyond it, what's causing it, what's behind it. And it's, as we see it, and by the way, the motto of the Trends Journal is think for yourself. We don't tell people what to think or what to believe. We just say this is the way we see it and here's why. And that is, it's a very different culture. You know, they just had something about, you know, one of the airlines from the 1970s, and you look at the stewardesses, and then we put photos back in the Trends Journal of what it used to be like flying, you know, not too long ago, again, only back in the 70s, and how you were being served on the plane, and now people eating out of a pizza box. And in the old days, and I remember it as well, you know, and I began flying for business in the early 70s. You know, people got dressed up when you got on a plane. You know, now it's a flying circus.
Well, why is that a sign of a lack of pride in ourselves that we have decided not to get all gussied up to get on an airplane?
Well, it's not even gussied up. It's coming in like a slob. I mean, look at people, you know, coming in on a plane with flip-flops, and, you know, you're dressed like, you know, you just rolled out of bed. And then again, you look at the obesity issues. You look at the behavior. I mean, there was just a post that came out in one of the Irish papers, and they had a sign up in Ireland, no coaches and no loud Americans. They didn't want them in the restaurant. So then you go, again, at every level. You go to the theater, you know, you might as well look like you just came out, you know, cleaning out your garage. In the old days, there used to be a respect and a dignity of showing up with class and dignity. And at every level, what we did is we took photos. We have, like, one of Sarah Vaughan, for example, singing, and then Miley Cyrus. You know, I mean, you know, you want to call it music, knock yourself out. You know, here's somebody with their tongue sticking out and dressed up, you know, in a costume. That doesn't take talent to do that, but it takes talent to do those other things. So it's a downgrading, as we see it, at every level, the foods we eat. Again, you go back, and, you know, I don't want to sound like an old guy, but I'm in my late 60s. There was never a thing where people were going down supermarket aisles in these electric carts because they're too obese to walk.
Yeah.
This just didn't exist. There was no such thing as type 2 diabetes among young children when I was growing up. I mean, this just didn't pop out of the ground. It comes from the food that we eat. the quality, the low quality of it, and the massive amounts of what they're consuming. So you could, again, we're saying don't blame Obamacare. You could have the best health care system in the world. It's not going to make one bit of difference when I don't care.
Yeah. Do you think that people are obese because they don't care?
Why else? You know, I have our offices, as I'm speaking to you now, we're in Colonial Kingston, New York. And it's an old supermarket, like an old A&P supermarket that we have. And we have these big windows. As we're speaking this moment, a woman is walking by that is probably, I'm going to say 100 pounds overweight. And I see this all day long. And I see it in young kids. It wasn't like this. When you went to school, you know, there were heavy kids, a few. Some of it was genetic and some of it was self-imposed. You look at the old photos of the recruits going into the service. And, you know, like those old World War II things. And everybody's always trim guys. Matter of fact, a study just came out from the UK that they don't know if they're going to have soldiers that are capable of fighting because they're so, you know, they're so overweight. So yeah, it's, I mean, who else is doing it? It's not coming, you know. We're doing it to ourselves. But again, and it's in the dress. It's in virtually every element of society.
Well,
you know, go on. I'm sorry.
I wanted to go into why we don't care.
You know, I think it was a break. It's in looking at it, it's a cultural breakdown. And that's, you know, what we also did. By the way, I'm a political atheist. I don't, take sides on issues. I just look at the facts for what they are. You know, I to me, they're the Bloods and the Crips, you know, no difference. But anyway, what we did is one of them, we took, when we showed how the whole campaigning, we're working on this now, presidential campaigning changed and how the bar was lowered. And it was when Bill Clinton was running against Ross Perot and George Bush Sr. And all of a sudden he shows up on MTV with dark sunglasses playing a saxophone. And I said, you know, what's going on over here? This was a shock to the nation at that time. So what's happening is across the bar, across the spectrum, the bar is being lowered as we see it.
So we see our political leaders with lowering the bar, so we lower the bar ourselves?
They say the fish rots from the head down, and that's what a leader does. It leads. You listen to the language of the politicians, stuff. They'll say things like stuff and folks and this and that. And, you know, so they're talking to a bunch of kids, and we've become kids. We've become those kids. And then you look at also the people that say, you know, people are too reliant on others to, you know, they don't want to take self-responsibility. So they look to the government to help them. Is that true? I don't know. But I do know is that the facts lie in the numbers and they within the dress. There was a story in New York Times in the style section. Not one critical element. It was only the thing that how stylish and classy and elegant it is to wear colored sneakers. Okay, if you want to believe that, yeah, knock yourself out. You know, colored sneakers are not elegant. But to marketers, they are. And then to people who never knew any different, they are. And then you read the comments and who these great designers are. They're all young guys. I've been wearing sneakers all my life. Hey, if you've been wearing sneakers all your life and you're a kid that's been wearing them, then if you say that's elegant, then of course it is because now it's been reinforced. And again, with the whole food issue, I mean, junk in, junk out. We have never seen anything like this in our lives. And again, the way people dress. There's no decorum anymore. I remember, again, as a young guy, and by the way, I began my career working in Chicago. And I remember going into a restaurant without a jacket, not being allowed in.
Well, let's,
and that was the first lesson I got. If you want to eat in a fine place, you better dress fine.
Let me take a short break because we need to remind our listeners that you can join in our conversation of America's state of I don't care. And we welcome your reactions. Do you agree with our guest? Do you think that that we are showing a lack of pride in ourself and our country through our dress and through our weight and through our, we'll talk a little bit more about this maybe after the break, our apathy when it comes to politics? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Gerald Celente. He is the publisher of the Trends Journal. He is the author of the piece in the Summer Trends Journal, Don't Blame Obamacare, Blame I Don't Care, How a Lack of Pride in Self and Country Affect Health and Spirit. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Gerald Celente about how a lack of pride in ourselves and in our country is affecting our health and affecting our spirit. He wrote in the Summer Trends Journal that he publishes, not too long ago, American citizens of all races, creeds, and colors had the deportment of a significantly more dignified human species. They were proud of themselves and proud to be Americans. This mega trend has been reversed. It took more than two generations, but we have come to the point where many Americans, too many, have lost their pride. They don't respect themselves or their nation. Literally and figuratively, they can hardly stand on their own two feet. Plagued by obesity and other preventable diseases, Americans can barely carry their own weight. Well, what do you think about this? What are the signs of not caring that you notice? Or do you disagree with what our guest is saying? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, we have lots of calls and Facebook comments. Let's go to Melanie in Madison to start off. Hi, Melanie.
Hello. Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm calling because I just really don't think that this is a trend that you're talking about. I think if you look at articles and people who comment on society, for years, maybe 200 years, you hear about the fact that the next generation is just, you know, not as good as the last one, or doesn't care as much, or, you know, society is going to hell in a handbasket. And I just think that that's not necessarily the case in this instance either.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the figures and the facts point to a different direction. So, for example, people can say, well, you know, things are going downhill from the last generation. And I agree with you, you know, that's subjective. And people say, oh, yeah, it's always been like that. But when you look at the numbers, again, when you look at obesity, and this never happened before, and then in all the other examples that we give, the way people dress. I mean, the fact is you go on an airplane now, people come in, it's a flying circus. You go into a department, you go shopping. Back in the day, regardless of any city, wherever it was in the United States, they were all, you know, little local department stores, and they reflected what the community was. Now you go into a Walmart or most of the other places, it's like going into a large self-storage unit. There's no decorum in there. It's done the cheapest way possible with steel and concrete. And it shows throughout. Go into a Walmart and take a look. Go to your 7-Eleven or whatever quick stop you have and look at the people online. If they're not buying lotto tickets or buying gas, you know, they're eating online and they're eating a lot of junk. I mean, these are facts that are in front of us. So I agree with you that it always says, you know, the last generation was better than this generation. But then again, you look at also the numbers on how people feel about the nation. And the graphs are there for everyone to look at. And the loss of faith they have in the government. So it's a decline throughout.
Yeah. Now, you're not saying, Gerald, that young people today are the slobs and, you know, all of the older generation are still dignified and proud.
Not at all. It's cross-generational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's. I think she's thinking that as a younger person that, you know, that they're not going necessarily, it's not the millennials that are causing this to happen.
Not at all. And again, when you look at the whole entertainment level, I mean, you know, you could call it what you want to. I mean, I'll give you an example. I remember when I was a kid growing up and, like, The Twist came out and Ray Charles and all this. These things were actually cross-generational. The old people were doing the young ones, too. Yeah. And now you look at the music, it's really segregated. There's a very, very big difference going on. And there is no popular sound. There is nothing that's bringing the generations together in music. If you go to the movies, it's a comic book. You know, it's an action movie. It's nothing more. And so it has a lot to do with the cultural changes, the political changes, and of course the corporate changes, where we've lost so much of our individual identity, where the local communities used to express it with whether it was the butcher shop, the bakery, to the supermarkets or the delicatessens, and now it's, you know, it's one size fits all. It's a Dunkin' Donut Starbucks society.
Let's go to Rose in Racine. Hello, Rose. What do you think?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and I just want to say your guest is just so very interesting. But I just turned 40 this year, and I totally agree with you because even growing up, you know, my parents, they were military, and, you know, I was a little bit rebellious. But now I actually joined the military, so then it put me in a position where I couldn't be promiscuous. I couldn't wear something that was, you know, totally out of line. But I think today in our generation, like with the previous guest who came on the phone, he says, you know, each generation gets a little bit worse. I agree with that, but I also agree that we need to turn off the TV. We need to turn off the video games. And parents need to start acting like parents. They need to raise their children. And what happened is that, you know, we're letting TV and society and Hollywood raise our parents, where that's not reality. Reality is that we have to bring back moral values. And when you start taking God out of school, when you start taking God out of everything, that's where society's going. And with the political issue, it's the same way. They think that Americans are stupid. And you know what? We're allowing them to believe that we are stupid because we are taking this I don't care attitude and not doing anything about it. We talk and talk and talk about it, but when no one's listening or saying, you know what, you're right, let's make a change, it's got to start with yourself. And I totally agree with your guest. I could listen to you all day. I would love to buy you lunch and just sit down with you and just listen to you.
Well, let's say you're having lunch, Gerald, what do you have to say to Rose?
Well, you know, I she said a lot of different things that made a lot of sense. One of them, of course, is what she said, parents need to raise their children. And I just wrote that note down. And it has, you know, that's been lost as well. But again, it's a total breakdown as I see it at every level. Look at the government. And I'm not talking about the Bush government. I mean, the Clinton. I mean, you keep going back. You know, and you look at the graphs and how people have lost faith in the politicians, in Congress, in the American dream. I mean, I'm not making that up. The American dream has been lost. Again, when we were growing up, it was a given that this generation would have it better than the future generations. Not anymore. You mentioned the millennials. They think it's going to be worse. This never happened before. So it's a downward scale along the line. And again, to me, as we conclude the whole piece, it comes back to the human spirit. It's up to the individual. It's about getting in shape physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and in any way that you can. It's your own trip. And I'm not talking about, you know, a belief in a God or a practice of a certain religion when I speak about spirituality. I'm just speaking in the generalization of it. For example, little things like, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and the spiritual being in a different level rather than a practiced religion. So it's physical, emotional, and spiritual the way I see it.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue to talk about this I don't care attitude that our guest Gerald Celente says plagues our nation. And we will welcome your questions for him. We'll welcome your reactions to what he's saying. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with a guest who says Americans have lost pride in ourselves and in our country, and it shows. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, July 22nd. We are talking about why we are down on our country, down on ourselves, and how this lack of pride affects our health and our spirit. And we wonder if you agree or disagree with his observations. We wonder if you see this trend in our culture or maybe in the mirror. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Gerald Celente is the publisher of the Trends Journal, and he is the author of a piece that's in the Summer Trends Journal, Blame I Don't Care, How a Lack of Pride in Self and Country Affect Health and Spirit. And I'm going to go right back to the phones as our lines are full. Mark in Sauk City is with us. Hello, Mark.
Yes, I agree with quite a few things your speaker is saying about our appearance, but he keeps referring to back in history when people would dress very nicely to go to stores, but yet those stores were whites only. We have a different type of care now. We are caring for a wider variety of things, a deeper variety of things. We have an African-American president. Back in history, they would not have cared to have voted for an African-American or a female politician. So I think we do care. They're just caring. We are just caring about different things.
Yeah, so we care about civil rights. We care about important things still, Gerald, is what I think Mark is saying.
Well, I think that's a very narrow look at the whole issue. A matter of fact, it wasn't just for black or whites only. The blacks used to, matter of fact, the style used to come from the hipper black community. That was the trendsetter. I mean, they would dress to the nines. It wasn't, yes, there was segregation, but that didn't mean that that the stores for the blacks and the music and they were the trendsetters in so many different ways. And that we voted for a black president, or a woman, that's just a small part of some progress, but the overall is a very steep decline. And again, just even thinking about the stores, there was no such thing as a dollar store. That didn't exist. It wasn't a big deal. Who would have cared? The great slogan by Walmart, save money, live better. Now, how about earn more and live greater? It's the whole bar keeps getting lowered and it becomes the standard. So at virtually every level that we look at, there was these number of philosophers and writers, and we quoted a few of them back in the mid-1800s, Savarin, a French writer, and he wrote The Psychology of Taste in 1825. And his line is, tell me what you eat and I will tell you what you are, meaning that he believed that the simplest meal satisfied as long as it was executed with artistry. And so a whole thing of fast, junk, canned, frozen, microwaved, that's eliminated. And man is what he eats, wrote Ludwig Andreas, concerning spiritualism and materialism. So both men maintain that the food one eats has a direct bearing on one's state of mind and physical health.
Yeah. So whose fault is it that we have so many fast food restaurants and processed foods and Walmarts in every town?
It's the people's fault. And it's first it started, of course, with the politicians by all their deregulation of laws that were in place that prevented multinationals from taking over so much. There was the Robinson-Patman Act, the Sherman Antitrust Act, the Clayton Antitrust Act, that prevented a lot of this gobbling up of industry and business by the few. So that paved the way for it. The other one, of course, with the fast foods particularly, it's advertisement. And, you know, advertisement sells, whether it's propaganda coming from politicians or from advertisers selling product. So, but it really goes down to the individual. When do you become discerning? I just did an interview for Australian, ABC Australia, and they were telling me that in Adelaide, they just opened up a Krispy Kreme. They're new over there. And the lines are around the street. And they were asking me, how long will this last? What does it mean, et cetera? So it's the advertisement of that. I mean, compare a Krispy Kreme to a local bakery that we have around the corner over here. I mean, it's not even a close race. But the advertisement does it, and the allure does it to be part of something bigger.
So let me challenge the notion that we have to dress to the nines to care. I'm thinking of, our caller reminded me of, protesters who tried to make a public policy change for the better, as far as they were concerned, or the Occupy, you know, Wall Street protesters. They were kind of dressed like slobs, but they were trying to do something good.
Well, but everybody across the spectrum is basically not dressing up. It again, it's a personal. Remember the motto, as we say, think for yourself. I mean, it makes no difference whether you're protesting, you know, finely dressed or not. You know, the protest is the issue. But the overall is a breakdown on so many different levels. If people enjoy going into an airport in an airplane and people coming in with flip-flops and look like they just rolled out of bed and they're unkempt and they're loud and they're unconcerning to other people, fine. That's what society will be, and it'll be reflected across the spectrum. So it's really not about the protest or the protesters.
No, my point was is that the protesters are not, you know, they're wearing their flip-flops and they're not all dressed up, but they are helping society, at least in their minds. They are trying to change society for the better. So they care, too.
Of course they do. And a lot of people do. But what we're saying is the whole bar has been lowered. Matter of fact, think about it. What if the Occupy, and I was down to the Occupy movements down in Wall Street, what if they were all dressed up? I don't know. Do you think the police would have been as brutal in the way they beat them up and so many of them? I don't know. But it's a question worth, you know, considering. And again, it's not as though, you know, there aren't people that care, don't think, and aren't concerned about things and are just dressing differently. And what we're saying is the whole bar has been lowered across the board.
Let me take another call from Jerry in Lake Mills. Hello, Jerry.
Good morning, and I agree with your guest. When young people are allowed to come to church in pajama bottoms and flip-flops, it's not only their decision, it's the parents who are allowing them to do this. I also condemn the fashion industry, as your guest said. A few years ago, the trend was to have these low-waist pants, especially for women. And in the Midwest, we have some very large people. And when they would bend over, you could see things that
you didn't
only intimate
see.
Members of their family should be able to view.
Yeah. So a reaction, Gerald?
Well, yes. You know, think about this. I'm a guest on your show, and I say, you know, Joy, I came up with this great idea. We do a lot of marketing work. What we're going to do is we're going to go to the most violent element of society. That's right. We're going into the prisons, and we're going to look at the most violent among them. The ones that are in prisons that don't have shoelaces, and we don't give them belts because they'll use those as weapons. They'll choke people with them. And then what we're going to do is we're going to they don't have shoelaces on, and their pants can't stay up, so they're down below their waist. And then what we're going to do, remember, these are the most violent in society. They're gangsters. And you should hear the way they talk. And what we're going to do is we're going to create a fashion statement and a music statement. And I'll tell you, Joy, we're going to make a lot of money doing it. Let's do it. What would your reaction be?
Well, I wouldn't do it, but a lot of people have, you're saying, too.
But I'm just saying, you would think I'm a lunatic, that anybody would want to stoop to the lowest to make money and market it so they could take in a whole society and make the abnormal normal. And that's what it's become. I'm not making it up. That's what they did. It's gangster. It's the dress. Again, we have another photo in the Trends Journal of Cary Grant, and then some sights on Venice Beach. You know, it's there for everybody to look at. Make up your own mind, and you decide. But it's there. Again, if you had a guest on that was promoting the most violent elements of society and bring that into culture and make it the norm, you would be saying to your producers, the other people, this guy was a lunatic I just had on.
Well,
you would.
Hold on, because we have a break, and then we'll continue to take calls. A lot of people have a lot of observations that they would like to share or questions for you. Our guest is Gerald Celente. He is a renowned global forecaster. He is the publisher of the Trends Journal. He is the author of the piece in the journal, Blame I Don't Care, How a Lack of Pride in Self and Country Affect Health and Spirit. And we are talking about this I Don't Care trend and how we can see it, how in our dress, in how much we weigh, how we feel about politics, talking about the signs, the significance of this. And we'll talk more about the solution. How can we reverse this trend? Can we reverse this trend? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with trends forecaster Gerald Celente, who says that Americans have lost pride in ourselves and in our country. And we're wondering if you agree or what questions you have. Dave in East Troy is with us next. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, hi. I agree with Gerald on some points. I think that the consumer base society is definitely one of the root causes, but I disagree with a lot of the entertainment, music, fashion. You know, that's I think, a generational gap. I think it's a lot more to do with consumer-based society that, you know, you don't have to really create, you don't have to make anything for yourself. And I think that the whole I don't care attitude is more indicative of that greater problem, and fashion and and entertainment have a lot less to do with it than I think he's saying, especially with like rap music and stuff like that.
All right, so he says it's more the prepackaged consumer culture that is to blame for this, Gerald.
Well, I would say that's part of it, but again, you cannot deny the fashion element. And as I just pointed out, what they did was they elevated the lowest sector of society, the most violent criminals in the country, and mimicked that in both dress and in music. So if you don't think that, you know, that's generational, no, not to me. You know, it's something that's been done right before us. It's right in front of us. So let's call it what it is.
Yeah. So, Dave, what you want to respond to that?
Yeah, some would argue that the people that created rap music were trying to, you know, voice where they were coming from in society. I mean, you look at some rappers that weren't prisoners. You know, they were outcasts of society because they were black. And they rapped about it, and they were persecuted by police, and so they, you know, despite their fashion and the way that they project, you know, they created their music. I don't think that, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, Louis Armstrong was black, and so was Billie Holiday. Duke Ellington was black, and so was Count Basie. It's not a color issue.
And no, but it's generational. I mean, if you don't like rap music, I think that's one thing.
It's
but
not. I mean, I'm just saying. Well, first of all, we could have a discussion on that as well. It's not music. It's rap. There's no instrumentation. You don't have to know how to play a violin. You don't have to know how to play a piano or a saxophone. It's an expression. It's not music. And I think it's been diluted into a music because there's nothing about music into it. It's an expression. You could call it a poetry. But it's certainly not music. There's not one element of musicianship in it, as though there's nothing there. You don't have to know how to, as I said, play a saxophone, a piano, a violin, or anything. So I wouldn't call it music.
Yeah, and but Gerald, I guess his point is that some rap artists are not vile people. They're African Americans rapping
again,
about their lot in life.
It's not an African American issue, as I see it. As I said, yet it's part of the culture, but it became the culture. And again, you had terrible segregation and treatment against blacks, you know, in this country for how many, you know, years. But look at the music they put out, and they put out the expression in a different way. But again, look at the element of it. Even the element of it is at a lower common denominator in that they took musicianship out of it.
Let's go to Eugene and Viola next. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning. Good morning, Joy. I went to a household sale yesterday. In the process, I was waiting for the item I was interested in to be sold. And I looked around, and the number of people that I saw that was overweight, and it looked like a lot of these people were in their 30s and 40s. And I go back to right after World War II, you'd have never have seen that. Also, you'd have seen people dress neatly. It doesn't take much effort to dress or clean up a little bit. And I'll take my comment off, answer off the air.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess.
Well, it's not only people in their 30s. Childhood obesity now is starting to plague the nation. And it's not like these kids, little kids, got heavy on their own. You know, they were taught that by their parents. And it's just getting worse. And again, we're forecasting, Dr. Skolnick of our staff, that obesity is going to be the greatest cause of health care prices going up in this country, particularly as the baby boomers age. And the older you get, as we all know, the harder it is to shed weight. And once you put it on and you don't get it off, you keep putting on more of it. So it's not only the middle age or the older people, it's a plague throughout society at this point.
Yeah. Gloria on Facebook writes, I think how much pride we have is connected to a sense of ownership and a feeling of being a part of something bigger. I think Americans are lonely. We rarely live in the neighborhoods where we work. We drive alone in our cars. In some places, neighbors don't even know each other. Is that a part of this?
I think she's correct. There's no community spirit anymore. It's and that has a lot to do with it. And again, goes back to when there used to be all the local businesses, whether they were the butcher shops, the bakeries, etc. So I think that does have a lot to do with it. You're on your own, and there's not that community.
So how do we reverse this trend, Gerald?
You know, to me, it goes all back to the individual, and it doesn't go any further than that. And if we had political leaders, of course, because they have so much influence, because they spend, you know, they're the ones that they feature all the time on the TV shows, particularly on Sundays. To me, it's bringing back joy and beauty and grace, and along with that, maybe prosperity comes with that. And again, it starts at the individual level. But when enough individuals change and the inner spirit changes, then everything changes. Again, that's only the way I see it. And it comes back to a level of, you know, people having the courage, dignity, respect, integrity, and passion to make the change. You know, become the greatest who you can be. Are you? I mean, I don't, you know, I'm like everybody else. I struggle to keep my weight in check. It's important to me because, you know, I don't want to end up differently. I don't want to end up having somebody have to help me out of a chair when I don't need that yet. So it, to me, again, it goes back to dignity, respect, integrity. And when a critical mass takes that in, as history has always shown, kind of like that 100th monkey thing, you know, all of a sudden 100 monkeys were doing it, and then the same monkeys were doing it in islands that were far away from it. Everything changes, but it goes back to the individual, as I see it.
Yeah, well, we have just a minute to go. You're a forecaster. Is this trend going to be reversed?
You know, I'll tell you, I've been thinking about that. The Italian Revolution, and I'm of Italian descent, Verdi's operas. You know, Italy in mid-1800s, they were the Austrians, the Hungarians, the Germans, the French, Spanish. The Neapolitans spoke a different language than the Calabrese. Verdi's passion was to unify the country through music, and he did it. There was almost a bloodless revolution. When he died, there were more people at his funeral than any time in recorded history. It goes back again to the culture. And I think it could be done with art and beauty and music being a very big element of it. Mm-hmm. And rap doesn't play a part of it, nor does Justin Bieber or Miley Cyrus or the rest of them.
We'll have to leave it there,
Gerald. To a higher level.
Thank you so much for being with us. Gerald Celente, publisher of the Trends Journal. Thanks to Robin Cherry and Justin Williams. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.